Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to the Raiders Talk Podcast. I'm your host, NBC Sports Bay Area Raiders insider Scott Baer, and this week's featured guest is tight end Darren Waller, who seems set to have a breakout season. He's racking up yards and catches and making the most of a golden opportunity that he thought might never come. This is an elite talent with two suspensions for violating the league's substance abuse policy, someone who has gotten clean and sober for more than 2 years now and has realized vast potential and shown the courage required to share his story with the NFL world. Quarterback Derek Carr likes to say that more people should be wearing Waller's jersey, and after listening to Darren speak about where he is and how he got here, you will probably agree. It's an excellent conversation that comes right after my discussion with fellow NBC Sports Raiders reporter Josh Schrock, where we talk about the troubling signs from a loss to Minnesota that might show up down the road, especially on defense, and we put the offense under the microscope and explain whether it's fair or not that Derek Carr is taking so much heat. So without further ado, let's get right to it. Our weekly Raiders discussion starts right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the discussion portion of the Raiders Talk podcast, where NBC Sports Bay Area's Josh Schrock and I break down what can be taken, good and bad, from Sunday's butt-whooping against Minnesota. I mean, it wasn't a pretty picture. That was also four full days ago now, but Josh, now that we've kind of moved forward here, when you look back at that Vikings game, are there any causes for concern that you could see that could maybe lead to trouble down the road? Any sort of signs that you thought, uh-oh, that could get them in trouble against the Colts next week or the Bears or on down the line?
I think it's got to be the run defense, and you and I talked about it early on in training camp. If a team like the Vikings did just comes out in 2-3 tight ends and keeps situational pass rushers off the field and runs against the Raiders' base defense, they have a really hard time stopping the run. And they were really good against the Chiefs. They were decent against the Broncos, and they were pretty much exposed in Minnesota.
I think that's true. And it goes back to a point that we had made earlier, kind of expanding upon what you're saying there, is that if you can trap the Raiders in a base defense, if you have some versatile tight ends and you have a couple dynamic wide receivers without necessarily playing a true 11 personnel or something like that, where you can keep the base defensive line, which doesn't have a lot of pass rush ability, and then you keep LaMarcus Joyner off the field, one of their best players, regardless of defensive position, you can trap them almost in a weakness, right, where they kind of couldn't get out of it. And I don't think that that had happened much because Kansas City plays a ton of wide receivers, and the Raiders played the run really well in the first game against Denver. And I thought that that base defensive package is pretty weak. And even though they were supposed to be a better run defensive team, the combination of Dalvin Cook and maybe a little bit of lack of discipline on defense really got them in trouble. But especially when, so you take Joyner out of it, Arden Key hasn't been impressive, but you essentially take him out of it and you put Josh Morrow on the field a lot, and they're still not stopping the run. That's sort of the Raiders defense at its worst.
Absolutely. And I think you're going to see that same issue probably rear its head this weekend and see if the Raiders found a way to fix that, because the Colts, especially if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, are just going to go in a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets and run the ball with Marlon Mack and just try to do what the Vikings did.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say Marlon Mack is Dalvin Cook. I was so impressed with how Dalvin Cook was able to move, how smooth and quick he was through the hole, a really decisive one-cut runner, and then he's gone. Marlon Mack, though, has been pretty good thus far. This Colts team has weathered a big storm, losing Andrew Luck. And you wrote a good piece on that earlier today, on Wednesday, about how they've been able to kind of weather that storm and kind of stay upright despite losing their quarterback so close to the start of the regular season.
Right, and it all starts with Jacoby Brissett. John Gruden kind of alluded to how lucky the Colts were just to have a guy like that who is – he's a starting caliber quarterback, and now he's just a franchise guy, and they were able to lose a top 4 or 5 quarterback in the NFL, and they haven't missed a beat because they have really good leadership. They have a talented quarterback in Brissett. They have a bruising offensive line and just a really strong core of leadership and guys that believe that the team's talented, whether Luck's there or not.
And it's pretty incredible, and I'm not saying that Jacoby is going to be on the Andrew Luck plane, or the Peyton Manning plane, even fewer are, but the stability at quarterback has been pretty impressive. And the Raiders have had stability at quarterback, but when things don't go right on the scoreboard, the guy who's been around the longest and gets paid the most takes the most heat. And this is not the first time that Derek Carr has taken criticism for being what is perceived to be too conservative. And there are some... it seems like there are stats on both sides of this argument that is waged in a nasty way on social media, where it's a really us against them, Democrat, Republican type of divide, right? Between Derek Carr defenders who have their own stats, right? And then Derek Carr critics, and they have their own stats. And you can kind of formulate whatever argument that you want, whether you side with him or you don't. But I think the bottom line is that the Raiders aren't moving downfield very efficiently, and they are not taking yards in large chunks. And Derek Carr is a part of an offense that has scored 2 touchdowns in its last 18 drives. One was on a trick play, one was in garbage time. None of that is good, but I think that just to point the finger all at the quarterback is not doing the situation a proper service, and that's not putting it in the right context.
And both sides of, as you allude to, have kind of dug in their heels at this point, where, you know, you see that his average depth of target is 6.7 yards, and everyone's going to grab their pitchforks and their torches and say, okay, well, he's just dinking and dunking again. You know, what's the point with this guy? And other people are going to look at it and say, well, the pass protection hasn't been perfect, and if they fall behind like they did against the Vikings, there's no threat of play action. There's no run fake. The defense is kind of playing back, stopping the explosive plays. And Carr alluded to it. I mean, they have been able to hit some chunk plays to Waller and Williams. So, I mean, he does get paid. He's the quarterback. So the finger gets pointed at him, obviously. But I don't think it's all his fault. And I mean, John Gruden took a lot of the blame today, saying he's got to call better plays. He's got to come up with a better scheme to get them better looks at getting down the field.
This offense is in a weird space right now. And I know Denver's not good, so you can't, and it's only 3 weeks in, so we don't really know what the identity of this defense is right now. It seems to be an offense in some transition, right? And that's a weird place to be heading into week 4. Normally you have a spring and a summer where you go to training camp and you figure out roles and you practice plays and you install and you figure out where everybody's going to be. And then the starting gun fires and you start executing all of these plans that you've made, right? And I get it. Everybody's sick of Antonio Brown. If you're in Boston, you're sick of it. If you're in Oakland or the Bay Area, the East Bay, you're sick of it too, right? But the fact of the matter is that if you're going to rip on Derek Carr for not doing dynamic things all the time, and it's fair, sometimes he hasn't been, and we can talk about protection. We also have to talk about the wide receiver situation, because any going from Antonio Brown to anyone, right, is a downgrade. And we're just talking about on-field stuff. Screw everything else, right? Because I can't take it anymore. I can't. And you write more Antonio Brown stories than anybody. You're officially over it, right?
Yeah, been over it, way over it.
But now I think we're seeing the smaller ramifications of the Antonio Brown loss. There was kind of lipstick was put on it because the Raiders came out firing in week one and won that game emotionally against kind of a bad team. And then it was a weird thing in Kansas City. And then they kind of got their heads knocked around a little bit against Minnesota, and the offense has looked listless. And it's because you didn't just drop from Antonio Brown to a serviceable starter pushed into a heavier role. You went from Antonio Brown to essentially nothing, right? They started Ryan Grant and then he's cut. And then they traded for Trevor Davis. What do you make of this wide receiver situation, which is in great flux heading into week four?
It's a massive issue. And I think, I mean, it's part of the Carr criticism too, is a lot of people are judging him based on, he was supposed to have this make or break year because he had all these weapons, Antonio Brown being the big weapon. And then Antonio Brown leaves and people are still judging him on that scale. And this offense has, I mean, they struggled because, as you say, they spent an entire offseason. They spent 6 months carving out roles and putting this massive load on Antonio Brown's shoulders. He goes off the reservation and now he's nowhere. I mean, he's gone. He might never play again. And they haven't found a way to, there's no way to duplicate what Antonio Brown brings, but other than Darren Waller, who's been really good, and Tyrell Williams, who the defense now focuses on, the offense can't, there's no one else to make a big play. JJ Nelson's been hurt. He's fast, but I mean, other than the flea flicker touchdown against the Vikings, he hasn't really shown much. So they're in a weird spot, and it's tough to be in that spot in week four, I think.
And they're trying to adjust the best that they can on the fly, but they were put at such a disadvantage because they were going to put so much on his shoulders, and they weren't able to spend the $15 million that they were going to give him. Two $8 million players, and this team is a lot better. Or maybe if you had your third-round draft pick and you had Terry McLaurin, right? Even something simple like that. They loved Terry McLaurin at the Senior Bowl. Even something simple like that alters the course of where you are. Now, nobody can predict it, and people have injuries, and things get weird, right? And Andrew Luck just retired just before the season. People have situations. And I thought Frank Reich had a great quote on the conference call with Bay Area reporters this morning where somebody said, was that a body blow losing Andrew Luck? And Frank Reich said, to use your boxing analogy, that was a body blow, but my team has a really strong core, right? Like they were able to absorb it and weather it. This Raiders team is not at that level right now, and clearly we're seeing that they don't have the depth at these key positions to be able to weather these types of setbacks. But I don't think Ryan Grant was a bubble guy in July, right? He was never
exactly
going to be a savior. So okay, let's play coach and GM again. This is a fun exercise that we did last week. You get to be John Gruden this time, because I want you to make the decision here. You've kind of got a crap sandwich, right?
Trying to
make something tasty out of it at the wide receiver position. You know the personnel that you have outside of Tyrell Williams. What's the best option here as you look at the wide receiver core? How do you make the best of the situation? Is it more Waller? Is it more running backs? Do you try to – is Trevor Davis? Like, what's the solution here? If there is one,
the closest thing to a solution, I think, has to be getting Josh Jacobs the ball more. Mm-hmm. Passing game, running game, all of it. He needs more touches. He is dynamic. We know, well, at least we thought we knew that he was going to be a valuable part of the passing game. He hasn't been so far, but he's got to be your best option. Waller, 14 targets against the Vikings, 13 catches. He's really good. Tyrell Williams has been as advertised, but the defense is just locked in on him. So you have to get Josh Jacobs the ball in order to just have another threat. It's not going to be Trevor Davis. I know he tore him up on an 80-yard field. He's really fast, and that's great. And maybe you can use him on a jet sweep or some sort of gadget play sometime. But it's got to be Josh Jacobs. He's the talent. He's the most talented other weapon they have.
If I were to voice one concern about Tyrell Williams, and this isn't a new revelation, that he was always going to be a great number two, and he could be a good number one receiving talent, right? But he mentioned it after the Vikings game, correct me if I'm wrong with the name, Xavier Rhodes. Is that the Vikings cornerback?
Yeah.
So, and he admitted Xavier Rhodes is a good cornerback, you know, a guy that can really lock down top receivers. I'm not discounting what Tyrell Williams is going up against, and good corners often win against good dynamic wideouts, but it takes a Jalen Ramsey type to slow down an Antonio Brown type, right? That those things are rare. And this is more of a normal situation that you're dealing with Tyrell Williams, where if you have a good cornerback, and there are lots of them, that this passing game can maybe run into more trouble. So I do think that you're right. The Josh Jacobs target level has got to come up. Now, we don't get to see every moment of practice anymore, but I can't say that I recall any moment of thinking Josh Jacobs is overmatched as a pass protector or as a route runner or with his hands. So to have only one catch to this point is kind of confusing to me, and I brought it up on Twitter, and the backfire of frustrated Raider fans, I get that you're mad, but it is amazing how different it is. But I think the bottom line is that you have to get the guy more involved, and if the score is out of hand, so you can't just run him off right guard, off left, you can't just run him between the tackles, you've got to find innovative ways of getting him the ball.
Yeah, you have to, and I mean, in training camp, we watched him very closely. He has really, really good hands. He made a number of one-handed catches. He is a weapon in the passing game. He was at Alabama. He was supposed to be here, and you have to get him the ball, because it's going to open up the passing game for Tyrell Williams, for Darren Waller, if the defense has to at least respect the threat of Josh Jacobs catching the ball, which they just aren't right now.
And this Darren Waller kid deserves a lot of accolades. To this point, through three games, he has 26 receptions. That's a franchise record. He had 13 in one game. That's one off of the Raiders record for an individual game with 13 catches. I think most impressive, and I brought this up to him in the conversation everybody is going to hear right after this discussion, is, hey man, you are trusted now, because he's caught 90% of all of his targets. That's incredible. That's what you want. And he's the type of guy to get frustrated over the one catch that he didn't make, and that's the attitude that you want. I think maybe he's a better version of Jared Cook, as opposed to saying he's the same guy. I know he's big bodied, he can move around. I think maybe Darren Waller may have just as much, maybe more upside than the guy who was their dynamic tight end last year.
No doubt. Darren Waller he gives any cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers, he's a mismatch on no matter who the defense throws at him. He's big, he's fast, he has great hands. A lot is going to be put on his shoulders now, and already has been. He's stepped up. He's been very impressive. He's been their best offensive player in my mind through three games.
Yeah. And I think I've been impressed about his willingness to keep taking on more. He said it after the Minnesota game, and then again in the locker room, you and I were there, on Wednesday afternoon, where he basically said, if the volume is high, fine, I'm ready for it. And, you know, he spends a lot of time out on the jugs machine. The tight end group is tight and versatile, and I think that they're going to have to play a big role against the Indianapolis Colts coming up on Sunday. And let's talk to the man himself, Darren Waller, coming up. Extended conversation about football, a lot about the really strong place that he's in after the dark places he has been in his life and professional career. Great conversation. And of course, Josh, as always, great discussion. Thank you so much for trying to make sense of what happened against Minnesota and how it can apply moving on forward. Really appreciate the time. And as always, guys, follow at Schrock_and_Schrock and Aw. Follow him on Twitter. Great follow, great reads on the website. Thank you so much, and we'll do this again next week, Josh.
Thanks, Scott.
If you're a football fan, you need to check out this new game called Sunday Night 7 on the NBC Sports Predictor app. There's no reason not to play. It's totally free and has $2 million in guaranteed cash prizes this season, with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what will happen in Sunday Night Football for a chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to NBCSports.com/predictor right now to make your Sunday Night 7 picks. So through 3 games, you have a franchise record 26 receptions, second in the NFL. You almost set a franchise record against Minnesota. You're on pace for 1,400 yards, right? All those are just kind of numbers that I'm sure you care more about wins and losses. But when you look at your personal contributions, is this the type of start that you expected, knowing how they planned on using you, where you at in terms of scheme knowledge, you know, to come out of the gate this fast? Is this what you expected?
I expected to execute on, you know, whatever was thrown at me. But I mean, like, all 3 games this year are the most pass I'd ever caught in a football game, like,
right,
by far. So I mean, that kind of production, I guess, is new to me. But I mean, I welcome like whatever the challenge is.
Why do you think that you've been able to thrive here in this offense, this scheme with this coaching staff?
I feel like they've been challenging me a lot, just to learn a lot of new positions and lining up in a lot of places, and that's what can kind of, I guess, help you get the ball more. The more places you line up, I guess they can kind of lose track of you, or it's a harder time for them to figure out where you're at. So, and if you just know the small details, that's the thing that I had to work on the most here, is like, I can remember like what I have, but it's just like the small ins and outs that really, you know, create separation, or is what really gets you in that window. Those are the little things is what I've had to focus on, but that's what's, I guess, helped me produce like that.
Seems like from a larger level, you're talking about moving all around, and the snap counts are a lot in line, obviously, but in the slot and on both sides. In terms of the mastery of all those things, was that daunting, or is kind of getting into the studies and the football schematics, is that something that you enjoy and pick up fast? What's that?
I enjoy it. I feel like, yeah, I pick it up pretty fast. I don't think it'll ever be a mastery. I feel like I have a decent understanding of it, and I feel like it grows every week and every time we take the field, because it's a lot of reps and everything. But yeah, I try to be as versatile as possible and put the most effort into everything, and not just be just good at one thing or in a certain situation, but just, you know, giving my all while I'm out there.
What was your reaction last year? Jared Cook leaves in free agency, and then they don't draft a tight end very high. Foster is here, and he's a big contributor here, but what was your reaction to that? Did you kind of think, okay, they're, or maybe they told you something that, hey, we're going to rely on you quite a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I was prepared for like both outcomes, I guess. Mentally prepared myself for if they drafted someone, that then great. But if they didn't, but I mean, they expressed belief in me since like OTAs that they would, you know, give me a shot and see what I did with it. And you know, like I said, that's all I really wanted. Really, you know, everything after my pass and everything, it's just like, you know, one opportunity is great. I feel like I can make the most out of that. Like, I've let too many slip away, so. Once they said that, it was just like it clicked with me, and I was excited about it.
When you're heading into this opportunity, I just listed a bunch of numbers. The one that I think is most impressive is you're catching 89% of the passes thrown your way, right? Like, that's building levels of trust in games, and you've kind of done that from what everybody said since you've been here. Is that important to you? You come to this, you have this opportunity that is a good one, that kind of building trust every step of the way?
Yeah, just consistency on my part. It's just been, as far as my career is concerned, a lack of consistency in different areas. So it's just like, you know, okay, if we throw him the ball, like, he's gonna catch it, he's gonna make something happen. And that's what I want, you know, my teammates to believe in me, like every aspect of being a part of the team, that he's gonna be there and he's gonna do what he's supposed to do, like with the best effort. And sometimes it may not go, the results may not be what we want, but most of the time they will be.
Being someone who can be trusted, being trustworthy in everything that you do, that hasn't always been maybe a staple of your past.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, to be at this position now, is that a real badge of honor for you? Something that you're really proud of?
Yeah, that's what I'm proud of the most is I could trust myself. Because before, it's just like, you know, I didn't really have a lot of confidence in myself, didn't really trust myself, didn't know how I would react to certain things each day, and, you know, just the kind of things that I was partaking in. It was hard for me to have a consistency or, like, a balance or, you know, not, like, if it was good or it was bad, you know, and just stay centered. It was kind of hard for me to do that. And now I do a better job of that, and, yeah, it does feel good. I appreciate that more than, you know, the football is like an added bonus now in my life, and I do appreciate it a lot, and I really enjoy being here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, without, you know, investing, like, in myself and changing a lot of things about myself, I wouldn't be here.
You're more than 2 years clean and sober now, and that's something that you've been open about for a long time with guys like me and from in here and back when you were with the Baltimore Ravens. You were candid with the Hard Knocks cameras as well, kind of telling your story, knowing that's now going to a national audience that millions of people are going to see. What went into that decision to be so candid and transparent and open with your struggles and, you know, from where you've been to where you've come? Because there were some dark days.
Yeah, I mean, once I kind of, like, faced the music, per se, things got a lot better, and it was like the shame disappeared, like the shame and the guilt of everything, like, that I have done that was in the public or just in private, just kind of like disappeared. And just to talk about it was like easier now, whereas before it would have been like, man, no way, like, I'm not talking to anybody. Like, everything I wanted to do, I just wanted to be like isolated from people. And now it's just like, I feel like it would be a shame if I didn't talk about it, 'cause I know there's a lot of people probably suffering in silence out there, and it's just like, you know, you don't have to do that. And there's also, like, once you kind of, you know, do the hard work, do stuff that's kind of nasty and dirty that you don't really want to touch about yourself. You know, there's good on the other side of it. And so I feel like, you know, it would be a shame if I didn't come out and speak like that. And it's like I said, like, the shame, once the shame disappeared, it's easy to talk about. Like, it's like, I'm not, like, nervous, like, oh, what are people going to think? It's just like, you know, this is my life. If I don't appreciate my story, then, you know, what am I doing?
Right. And it seems like within kind of group meetings and self-help, the story of, you know, sharing your experience, strength, and hope, right? But to do that on such a grand scale, what has the reaction been like, you know, whether it's from Raiders fans or, you know, just people that you come in contact with as you become a more recognizable person?
That's been the coolest part about it, is people reaching out to me, like, like, on my Instagram, or, like, writing me something, just saying, like, they can relate to my story, and it's like, what I did inspired them, and it was just like, you know, that's all I can really ask for at the end of the day. Like, you feel the best when you can help somebody else, not just gain something for yourself. So that's what I kind of view it as. And it's like, when I go on the field, it's like, or like a day where I'm like kind of tired, not really feeling it, it's like, you know, there's people that, you know, that look at me, or there's people that don't even know that something I could do could inspire them. And, you know, I just try to take that seriously.
I think I read a great story before the Broncos game. Somebody handed you something special, sobriety chip, kind of Raiders themed.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you? That obviously probably meant something to that person you got a minute with, that, you know, that must have been a really special moment.
Like, that guy went out his way, like, I don't even think he knew for a fact that he would be able to, like, see me or, like, be
exactly
with, like, right there. And for him to go out of his way and do that, you know, I thought that was, you know, extremely generous. And I appreciate, like, I having my backpack every day, you know, just in my room, put it on my nightstand, you know, kind of thing I could carry anywhere, and just look at it and just read over it and say, like, okay, like, I've come a long way, but it's still just all about stacking days.
Right. And you gain confidence, right? The more days that you get, the more comfortable that you are, then you're sitting here exuding confidence, being open and honest about it. Now, at the point now, right, when you're saying the shame is gone, is there reflection to look back now, or is it all just, you know, kind of channeling forward into, you're in such a positive environment now with your work and personally, is it all about taking steps in this direction as opposed to looking in the rear view? How do you negotiate that? Or
I guess I try to keep a healthy balance of, like, you know, moving forward but not forgetting, like, who I was or what I was doing before.
You don't want the forgetters.
And it's like, you know, it's like I said, it's like, it's not hard for me to, like, I guess, remain humble, because I can always, like, remember vividly, like, what my life was like a couple years ago,
right,
and stuff like that. So it's just like, man, like, anytime I think I'm, like, hot stuff or something, it's just like, it's a good reminder to have there. And it's just like, hey, man, you really, like, you know, you really know better than anyone else. You're just you know, trying to find your way. You're doing a better job of it now, and it's like it's not everything's not all about yourself. But I mean, like, I try to keep like a healthy image of that, but not like beat myself over the head as soon as like one little thing goes wrong.
It's a tightrope for sure. Counterproductive. I guess I'm just curious, and it's funny, I asked this question to players that go through injuries that are gone for a season. Do you value the experience more? But you know, that is with a timetable that you assume that you're going to come back. But you were suspended twice, right? Oh, yeah. There was no guarantee of anything. Right. So I ask you that question, maybe already knowing the answer, given where you've been and all that, to be here, do you really value, you know, all these days that you have in this experience doing what you love?
Yeah, I'm grateful for it, because like beforehand when I was like in a building like in Baltimore, it was like, you know, I had so many things like clouding my mind and things that, you know, didn't necessarily need to be there that were took me away from like why I play football, why I wanted to be there. And it just made it like a burden for me, because I was just trying to like please people, and then it was just like I was just trying to like get through days instead of like, you know, having a vision, trying to like make every day count. So it's a lot different now. So just being here is like it's a lot of gratitude, like every day, like it's like it means a lot, just any day really.
Right, and kind of like what you were saying is that doing well playing football is great, right? But the life you've created for yourself, right? Is that maybe the biggest thing that you're proud of?
Yeah, just changing the course of things in my family, hopefully. You know, trying to help out my community back home, because it's drugs all over the place where I grew up. And just trying to, you know, get my life together and then use it and like use what I've learned to just help other people and help them kind of see the light maybe before I did, because you know, it's people that may not realize things till they're 50, and I realized them when I was like 25, 26, and then I could help somebody before they even touch something that they don't even need to be touching. Right. So that's what I kind of keep in mind.
Well, Darren, hey, thank you very much for being so open and candid, and best of luck against the Colts and the rest of the way.
Appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone for downloading and listening to the Raiders Talk podcast, and a special shout out to tight end Darren Waller for a truly candid conversation about he has overcome so much to be in a great place today. Check out this complete interview and 30 minutes of Raiders Talk on Raiders Central, our weekly television show breaking down everything you need to know heading into Sunday's game against the Colts. It debuts Thursday night at 9:30 on NBC Sports Bay Area and re-airs several times throughout the weekend. So set your DVR to record each episode this season. You've been listening to the Raiders Talk podcast, and if you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. If you like our podcast, give us a 5-star rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We will be back next week with another great guest. Thanks for listening, Raider Nation.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.